Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome to the Veterans Perspective. We have a great show for you today. Today, we will be speaking with Tracy Walls, a volunteer and advocate for Reefs Across America, as well as Quan Tillman, the Service Director for the DAV of the State of Michigan. We're talking today about resources, holiday resources, things you can do during the holiday as we gear up for what will probably be a winter, right? As we're getting into the holiday season. I know we haven't seen much snow, but fingers crossed we'll at least get some for Christmas or for that holiday that you may be celebrating out there. So we're looking forward to a great show. There's going to be some great information and great resources. You don't want to miss this show if you want to get connected to your resources and benefits. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Today, we're talking about resources that you can utilize during the holidays, as well as some of those opportunities that you can take to give back, such as with Reefs Across America. And joining me, you all haven't heard her voice in a while, is Erin Stover, Public Affairs Officer at the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Welcome back, Erin.
Thanks, Director. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well. And so before we jump into really kind of talking about some of these topics, I wanted to just talk about something a little bit lighthearted, and that is traditions. Those are fun things that you do or that we do during the holidays that maybe some folks are looking for some new traditions, or maybe they're looking for some fun things to do. So maybe I'll start with me, some of the traditions that we have during the holiday. You know, what's interesting is we have six children, which they will all be back for the holiday. And I was just getting used to having a quieter house and a cleaner house, but they will all be back. when I was growing up, we used to have Christmas dinner on Christmas. And it was always just, for me, in my mind, just looking at my mom, it always seemed like a high stress day because she's working on Christmas. She's cooking, she's getting everything ready. And then you have presents in the morning and it's just a mess. You got to clean up all the gift wrapping and it's just hectic. So, I started that off as a tradition because we carry traditions down, right? We just do what we see sometimes. And I started that off and, early on with my husband and children, and they got old really quick. I think it was probably for about a good 3 years before I was like, oh, this is too much. So now, part of what we do as a tradition is we actually do Christmas Eve dinner. So we do our big Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve. And then we have breakfast in the morning. We have breakfast, we take communion, and we do all of that in the morning before we open presents, which is sometimes hard. I'll let the kids open one.
Right, that has to be hard to make them wait a little.
Yeah, so they get to open one. But then we have like a big breakfast on Christmas. We're all in our pajamas because now it's the whole, everybody has the matching pajamas. And some years I've done it, and then now like my older kids are like, we need to have matching pajamas, and I'm like, I don't care, but so now we have to have matching pajamas. So we have that, and then we have breakfast, and then we just chill out. We eat leftovers from Christmas Eve, and it's just a chill day. And for me, it's an opportunity to kind of take in what the day means, what it's about.
Absolutely.
It's about family, it's about giving, it's about all of that. So what are some of the traditions that you have?
I think for my family, it's really changed as we've gotten older of moving away more from being a kid and being super excited about your presents and your stockings. And now my husband, when he asks what I want for Christmas, I tell him all that I want for Christmas is Christmas tree, Christmas decoration. Maybe we'll make Christmas cookies together, but that's just what I want, is just that togetherness with our family and just that cozy holiday vibe. Because obviously when you're an adult, if there's something you want, you just buy it throughout the year. So it's no longer about the presents, which I love. But on the other hand, I also love seeing my nieces and nephews just get so excited for the magical part of Christmas, of Santa, and just that side of it is just, it's great to watch. But also just as an adult, I enjoy the peacefulness of Christmas and what this time of year brings.
Yeah, that's, you know what, when we get back into what the true meaning is, that makes all the difference. And I, you know, all of those things, like the cookie making and the, like I make the candy making and trust me, I started some of those things early on. And then as I've gotten older and the kids have gotten older, I'm like, I don't need to do all that. And now they're coming back. Well, they want it now. Like they're all are we doing all this stuff? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do all this stuff. I'm tired, but they want to do it all. So those memories continue. And it's, those are the memories that continue to give. I mean, they may forget about the gift or what the gift meant, but they remember those memories that you
Absolutely.
Make. And so I would say for anybody out there, you know, no matter what kind of financial situation you're in, you know, make those good memories, because that's what's going to sit with your family and your children for years to come.
Absolutely. I don't remember what I got for Christmas when I was 7, but I definitely remember, you know, every Christmas Eve, my dad reading The Night Before Christmas, and just, it's the memories. And, you know, if someone is struggling with worrying about presents, don't worry about it. It's like what director said, it's just about those memories. And that's what you cherish for many years on.
Absolutely. So, you know, before we get to our commercial break, I just wanted to highlight some of the things that are coming in the next year as far as show and how maybe you can participate. Erin, if you want to share some of those show topics.
Absolutely, of course. So we're really excited about thinking about what we'll talk about in 2022. And there's some, like, typical, I think we've had buddy-to-buddy programs, people on before, but we can never stress the importance of the power of veterans helping other veterans. We'll have some shows on Secretary of State and some of those kiosks, but veteran-owned businesses as well is something we'll talk about. But one thing we're really looking forward to having is great veteran success stories. So if you're listening and you know a story about a veteran who maybe got connected to employment or found some aid for his family, we would definitely love to hear about those stories. We would love to invite folks onto the show to just talk about the importance of veterans getting connected. And so we have an email for people to use, and it's mvaastrategy@michigan.gov. So mvaastrategy@michigan.gov. And if you forgot that email, just give us a call at 1-800-MICHVET, and we would be so happy to talk to you and invite you on the show.
That's great information, Erin. And we're looking for your show ideas as well. So send those to that MVAA strategy michigan.gov, right? Just make sure I got it out right. Yes. And so we are looking forward to an exciting show. So we will be right back on The Veterans Perspective. Thanks for joining us, Erin.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Welcome back to The Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now, back to your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to The Veterans Perspective. I'm your host, Zanetta Adams, Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. And today we're talking about resources in the community as we get into the holiday season. Now, you know, we're going to be talking about this for the month, but, you know, I wanted to talk about some opportunities that, you know, our feel-good opportunities, but also a way that we can give back to those who gave their lives and who are no longer with us. And so joining me today to talk about this great program, Wreaths Across America, is Tracy Walls, U.S. Army veteran of 10 years, retired from the federal government after 31 years of service. She's a volunteer and avid supporter of Wreaths Across America, and also the vice president of WINC for All Women Veterans. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you for having me, Zanetta.
So, you know, we're talking about some of the things that we can do around the holiday season. And I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about this program that maybe people are seeing on their social media pages. Maybe they've heard about in passing, or maybe they've never heard about it. And that's Wreaths Across America. Can you tell us a little bit about, so, you know, where did this idea about Wreaths Across America come from?
Well, Wreaths Across America started up in Maine, and it was a way to give back and honor and remember those service members who are no longer with us. So it started actually in Arlington. So they would make wreaths and they would donate it, and they would drive them down, and they have this big convoy. And it's a week long thing. And they just drive down and they go to Arlington and they would lay wreaths. So Wreaths Across America decided to expand it to all veteran cemeteries. So in every state, you have a Wreaths Across America at your veteran cemetery. And it's a wonderful way to give back. And it's called, it's Remember, Honor, and Teach. So that's how you can incorporate the whole family to get involved with it. And it's actually, the little known secret, is also a fundraiser for organizations. So organizations can have year-round fundraisings to get wreaths so that wreaths are laid at their local veteran cemeteries. And those organizations collect those wreaths that you can go directly online to purchase the wreaths, which are only $15. So $15 and you get to lay a wreath on a fallen comrade. The organizations in turn get a $5 refund for every wreath that's sold. So that also brings up those monies, especially for nonprofits, because WINC has a page for Wreaths Across America, and we support the cemetery in Battle Creek. So it's always the third Saturday in December, and it starts at noon, and it's just a wonderful opportunity to do it. I've been doing it for 10 years now, and it's near and dear to my heart because my brother, who was an Army veteran, is now deceased, along with my nephew, who was an Air Force person. And I get to lay wreaths on their graves. And the ceremony itself is held at noon across the United States. So at 12 o'clock on the 18th of December this year, there will be the ringing of the bells and the start of the ceremony, and we're going to honor those that are laid to rest in the cemetery. And when you lay the wreath, you take the wreath, you stand in front of that person's grave, you say their name for another time, and then you lay the wreath so that way they're not forgotten.
You know, that's great. I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about some of the things you mentioned. So you said that, you know, people are, you know, maybe you can purchase these wreaths year round, but you also mentioned the third Saturday in December of every year. So are these wreaths being laid only on that third Saturday at all of the grave sites that they're purchased and they're just purchased year round, or how does that work?
Yes, you can purchase year round. So in let's say January, you can start purchasing your wreaths, but it won't be laid until the third Saturday in December for next year. So they'll tell you this year when we go to the ceremony, they'll already tell us the date for next year that we're going to do the actual ceremony, but you can purchase the wreaths. And why we do that is because there are so many grave sites that without donations throughout the years, you wouldn't be able to cover all the graves at each one of those veteran cemeteries. And a lot of people are under the assumption that they can only donate to Arlington. No, when you go to Wreaths Across America's website, you can put in for local sponsorships. So if you put in, say in Michigan, WINC for All Women Veterans, our page would pop up and you would click on there to sponsor, and that sponsorship will help WINC with the number of wreaths they said that they want to do for the year to be laid on the grave. But there are also other organizations that are supporting that so that they can get it. So if you're talking about the Battle Creek, if it had 23,000 graves, all those wreaths that are laid there are donated from people all around the country so that they can be put on there.
So who lays the wreath? So if I, you know, if I was to make this donation to get a wreath to place at a grave site, do I have to, can I do it in the name of someone for it to be at their specific grave site? Or am I donating to the collective? And then if I do that, who places those?
Well, that is the beauty of it. You can donate a wreath in honor of a living veteran and memory of a deceased veteran. You can also remember a veteran that served a long time ago. Depending on what location you're at, some cemeteries actually allow you to do grave-specific wreaths, and you have the option of laying it yourself, or the volunteers will come out and do it. Now, the volunteers are local people in the communities. Most of them are Boy Scout troops, Girl Scout troops, VFWs, American Legions. Of course, Wink is one of them. So you can just go to that cemetery's page and you can actually click on the volunteer button. And when you do that, you register at that cemetery, and they in turn will send you specific information about your volunteer services, like what time your meet up, when the trucks are coming in, because we need volunteers to be there the Friday before to offload the wreaths that are shipped in. We need people there at the end of January when it's time to collect the wreaths and clean up the graves, because once we lay them, they stay there until the end of January. So the volunteerism is loaded with opportunity, and it's a way to do community service and to give back. And this year, the theme for Wreaths Across America is live up to their legacy.
So, you know, just, you know, as we wrap up, what can, how can somebody volunteer, sign up to volunteer, get involved, you know, place a wreath or buy a wreath? How can they get all this information? Where should they go to maybe do it under Wink or whoever, under Wreaths Across America? Where can they go?
Yeah, go to the Wreaths Across America page. It's wreathsacrossamerica.org. And once you get there, it will allow you to do a general donation. It also has the buttons where you can select local organizations and local cemeteries, and you can do it that way also. Just get involved.
Well, Tracy, I want to thank you for coming on and educating us about this very, very important and honorary topic. I plan to go on and make sure that I'm donating a wreath in memory of my dad, who passed away last December, for his gravesite at the National Cemetery. And hopefully others will join me and remembering veterans as well. So thank you so much for your time today, and we look forward to hearing from you soon.
Always. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Zanetta.
Thank you. And we'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Our next guest is Quan Tillman, veteran, as well as the service director for the Disabled American Veterans, the DAV of Michigan. So welcome to the show, Quan.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We're talking today about, you know, resources, opportunities, things people can do to be aware of for the holiday season as well. And I wanted to make sure we brought on our very first, actually, veteran service organization who handles claims and appeals and things for veterans, to kind of talk about some of that process, but also talk about some of the things that the DAV does for the veteran community in ways that people can not only assist or take advantage of some of those opportunities, but also ways that they can be involved. So we have a great conversation today, and I'm looking forward to it. But first, you know, I would love for our listeners to know a little bit more about you. So can you just tell us, you know, what branch of service you were in, you know, what you did in the military, and really what brought you to the DAV?
I appreciate that. Thanks again. Yeah. Again, serving the United States Marines during the Gulf War era, started in the infantry, ended up getting injured. And that kind of started that process for me. Before getting the Marines, of course, like any other service, If you're not able to perform at a certain level, then you're not able to continue on through your tour. And I wanted to actually do a full tour, do my 20 years and go on, but that wasn't the case. So I ended up getting out of the military after I had a couple operations and whatnot. And again, wasn't successful to get me to the point where I needed to be. And I went back to school. I actually went back to school. I was going for psychology and whatnot, and going through the VOC rehab program, VA's Vocational Rehabilitation Program. And my counselor one day, I was keeping a really high GPA. She was like, have you ever thought about working with VSOs, the Veteran Service Organization? I said, what is that? I didn't even know about it. And mentioned DAV. I was like, who is Dave? But I got to find, I've been there for like more than 14 years now. One of the best decisions of my life, very rewarding career with DAV. And again, what it basically is veterans serving veterans. We're all veterans. We all served. We all deal with some kind of, whether it's physical or mental health condition that we deal with. So it gives us a unique perspective, because when we're sitting across the desk or phone with other veterans, it kind of eases them, and you have that commonality and common ground with them. So this is a little bit about where I came from as far as military and where I'm at now, but that's a start to this conversation, if you will.
Well, I appreciate that, Quan. You know, and so, you know, in talking about those veterans who, you know, you assist, mm-hmm. What are some of the things you assist them with?
Yeah, it's a variety of things. It's a great question. Some of them come in for education benefits, whether it's the veteran themselves. Like, I want to maybe look at a different career, especially with the pandemic going on right now. As you know, there's so many folks that are like, hey, I like maybe going to a remote environment, look at some other options, because I'm not really comfortable. Others come in for healthcare benefits, which is a huge one in this country, especially. Healthcare has just skyrocketed the cost and whatnot. And you'd be surprised. Some of them had actually retired. They had great health benefits, but they were part of a police union or some other union. And after retirement, they lost their benefits. So the only thing they really need is healthcare. They got receive other, you know, pension and other, you know, compensation they may be getting, but they need the healthcare. So healthcare is a huge one right now, I can tell you, because of what's going on with everybody, whether it's, again, the mental disability, physical disability, even with the healthcare when they will send you over to prosthetics for things that may help them in their home, adaptation type things. So that's a huge one. The last couple of things I will say would be when it deals with like pension benefits, like somebody served and unfortunately they had some injuries or whatnot after service, it had nothing to do with their service, pension may be eligible to those ones. And then compensation, the huge one, tax-free benefit, you know, veteran served, had some kind of injury, sustained in service or secondary type condition. There's about 7 different ways to that. And any veterans that have any questions, they can find more about that on DAV.org. We got a nice about us, but it also talks about the different ways of connection and whatnot. But that compensation is huge, because now that takes some of the pressure off of some of the state programs and whatnot. The federal is supplying that benefit. And again, it's a monthly benefit rest of their life if they get entitled. And we take the stress out of that process. We help them with the application process, give them advice and guidance, advice and guidance on, you know, how to go about it. And they may come in, you know, saying, hey, I got a problem with my, you know, my finger or my toe or something like that. But we may look into it and say, hold on, in your records, you got this situation going on here. We can help them and give them the full scope of benefits they may not even be aware of. So just some of the programs there.
Well, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about eligibility to utilize some of those programs that you or, you know, to get connected and how they can reach out to you. But before we get into that, you know, I know that you all do more than just compensation and pension, because as you know, not everyone qualifies for compensation and pension. And so what are some of the other things that the DAV provides, program services, some of those other things that you can help a veteran with?
Yeah, so it's a variety of things. One of the biggest programs we have, and again, DAV's been around for 100 years now. We just celebrated 100-year centennial last year.
Happy birthday. Again,
thank you. Appreciate that. The pandemic put a halt on the big celebration that was planned. But again, we're just happy that we're still here, right? A lot of folks, unfortunately, lost their lives. But we have some transportation. One of our huge ones is a transportation program that we provide. And this is helping veterans here in Michigan and across the nation get to their VA medical center appointments. A lot of veterans are not able to, you know, ambulate around or don't have that transportation. So we connect that benefit. And we've been doing that successfully, a partnership with Ford. They've donated a lot of these vans and trucks to DAV because of what we've been doing. Matter of fact, Ford was donated the first vehicles back in 1921 to get us to our first convention. So that partnership has been going on for so long. And I gotta say thank you to Ford Motor Company for what they've been doing for, again, over a century here to help us help veterans. We also have a lot of volunteer programs where even on our site, again, at DAV.org, folks can go on there, just regular people or veterans that want to assist another veteran in their home. It's part of our volunteer network. So say somebody needs their lawn cut or some kind of roof repair or any kind of, you know, home improvement, if you will. A person or a company can go out there and say, I like to connect and see what requests are out there, and they can help another veteran out free of charge. Again, on these, everything I'm speaking up to, want to make sure I'm clear, completely free. These are free things that we're offering. And again, through the generosity of the American public, DAV on a national level is a completely a nonprofit organization that received no funding from state or federal. So the DAV national program is the one that kind of sponsors these type of these programs or whatnot. So it's just a couple of things that we do. And then again, we're very connected to other programs. So whatever, like say DAV doesn't do, we connect them to other resources that may do that. Like even for the children, we got to remember the family members, they serve just like us. Mm-hmm. So we got this great program through Camp Corral. It's like a Golden Corral is the one that put it on, but it's for the children of veterans, where they get to go once a year to a camp with other children that may have had their father or mother been deployed or been in war and they're dealing with the effects of that. And so they get to be around other kids and know what that's like. So this is so many different programs. Again, it's not just for the veterans, it's also for the family members. Again, we couldn't do it without them. I know you serve as well, Director Adams, in the Army. So we know that it takes a complete support system for us to do what we do.
Well, you know, that's great to hear. You know, I've heard of Camp Corral. My children, who are now in college, actually were participating in Camp Corral for a few years, actually. And I didn't know the DAV was involved. So that's great to hear. It is an amazing camp. So anybody that's out there, I would go check out Camp Corral. I know that I still receive emails from them. I know during the pandemic they were closed down, but I think they had camp last year. So check it out. It's free. The kids gain so much from it. It's a YMCA camp. I know that there's one right in, I think it's Middleville here in Michigan. But you can go to other states as well. So that is great. So we'll actually be talking about some of the eligibility criteria when we come back from commercial break. So I encourage all our listeners to stay tuned. We'll be right back with Quan Tillman on the Veterans Perspective.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now, back to your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. We are joined by Quan Tillman, the Service Director of the Disabled American Veterans, the DAV of Michigan. Thank you for your conversation. And so, you know, we were just talking about some of the programs, but I think it's important that people realize, like, who can take advantage of assistance through the DAV. Now, you know, I'm a member of one of the service organizations, actually two of them that I joined before I, you know, got into this position. It was several years ago. And it was interesting, you know, I was in a veteran status and then I was mobilized and put on orders to go to Iraq. I didn't end up making it to Iraq, but I was gone for about a year. And there was a point in time where, I didn't get paid from the VA. I mean, from the military. Like, you know, that happens sometimes. Yes. Something happens with your pay and you don't get paid. Yeah. And I had a family of, you know, five at home or four at home at the time. And so the military was like, yeah, we just got to wait. And, you know, bills are piling up. And so I remember that service organization stepped in and I was still technically still active at that point. And so I would just say that was a godsend. And I know that there are several stories about the DAV being that godsend for veterans. And so who can take advantage of this? Do you have to be a member of the DAV in order to take advantage of some of the programs and services that you provide?
No, great question. Director Adams, no, you absolutely do not have to be a member of the DAV. Any veteran that served in the United States Armed Forces can take advantage of the DAV's programs. And again, it's the question like you asked is about membership. Yes, no need to be a member, not to pay any dues and fees. If they want to join after they've been helped out by the DAV, again, with their claims, benefits, or resources they've been connected to, that's completely on them, but we don't pressure anybody to become members. We actually, again, the membership really is for us to be stronger in Congress. We go and we fight for veteran benefits and rights. It's one thing if you guys say 10,000 members, DAV has over a million members nationwide. So when you have that number, you got a seat at the table, and we get to sit at the table with the Department of Veteran Affairs, the secretary, even the president, and meet about, hey, this is the benefits that are on a, that we have right now. We want to protect those. And we also think we should have more benefits like caregiver benefits, right? Women veterans initiatives. We want to make sure their rights, their benefits are the same as their male counterparts. So it's a lot of things that we're, that we do every single year. But again, any, a service member that served in the United States Armed Force, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, they can, communicate with us, reach out to us, and we'll be more than happy to provide any kind of service resources that we have free of charge.
Well, I appreciate you breaking down that stigma, because I think that if you don't know this space, then you don't know this space, right? And so you don't know that you can go to a veteran service organization like DAV and get services, get assistance with claims, without being a member. And that's important. That's important for all of our listeners, those families who are listening, because, you know, what we've learned and what we've seen, when you have an advocate, when you have someone vouching for you and helping you with your claim on paper, it actually increases the chances of you receiving your benefit. It doesn't mean it's a guaranteed thing, but it increases your chance, because they know that someone who knows this, what's going on, is helping you with your claim. And I know you want to add something to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you said it, it was just like, hold on, the light went off in my head. But just speaking from experience myself, and then for, like I said, again, all the VSOs that that have been through that path trying to get those benefits. I know when I got out, again, I had a percentage because I had some injuries and surgeries in service, right? But a lot of veterans, they don't have that. Or they get out and they think, okay, that's all I can get, is that 10% I got, 20% I got. So we take that DAV and the other VSOs, we take, again, the whole entire process and make it simplified for them. Again, a lot of them just not really understanding what even benefits they may even be entitled to. Or what even is a veteran? What qualifies as a veteran, right? That's what we were just talking about here a minute ago. So it's so important to get with a VSO, because when you do it on your own, you're gonna go at it blind, and you're gonna, you know, look up things, try to research. But when you have a veteran service organization, you truly have a power of attorney, a partnership. We work, right? Just say DAV. We work here in Michigan along with the Coalition, Michigan Veterans Coalition, with VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and American Legion. So we work together collectively to help these veterans, but right co-located in the Federal Magnet Bureau building downtown with the VA. Might ask, well, what's so important about that? Well, the key thing is we work right with the decision makers, right in the building. So we make those partnerships and connections with those VA employees. And we can say, hey, listen, we think you missed something in this veteran's case. And at the same point, when the veteran's putting in their claim now, they're not putting it in blind, not knowing what I should provide. We're telling them, hey, to have a fully developed claim, you got to have your medical evidence. You're gonna need a current diagnosis, a current assessment. And then we gotta have that link. The third thing, the medical nexus or medical opinion. So we're gonna really help them and show them the whole process and make it easier for them. And that way they get the best chance out of the gate. Like you mentioned earlier, there's no guarantees to anything, but we give them the best opportunity for success in the claim process and appeals. We represent them for appeals as well, if need be.
Well, and it takes stress off of that individual from having to understand every single facet of the several documents that the VA sometimes sends. And so that's really great that they have that advocate there. So, you know, I wanted to kind of shift a little bit and talk about, you know, employment and how you maybe assist veterans either getting employed or opportunities you may have.
Yes, great. I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the big programs that for DAV that we have here in Michigan nationwide, the employment program, and we've actually partnered with Recruit Military. They're a huge organization that's for years have been serving veterans and putting on these fairs. And so across the nation here, and even Detroit, we had a couple at Ford Field in the last couple of years. And anytime we have it, we definitely post it everywhere and make sure MVA knows about what's going on, the counties and any other VSOs. But we assist with getting those veterans and serving them coming back home into some great opportunities that's going to fit what they're going through. Because again, when veterans come home, maybe dealing with certain disabilities that they're going through right now. So we want to make sure whatever job they're or career they're going to go into is going to be something that's going to be best suited for what they have going on. So that Recruit Military partnership is huge, because again, it brings all these big name corporations to them. And they come out, we pair them with these individuals, these companies, and it's a great opportunity for veterans to find work in all different types of the public and private sectors.
That is great. And so we'll make sure that we provide your contact information before we wrap up today. So just wanted to shift really quickly and talk just about what's going on tonight. So I know that you have this big thing going on tonight. I know it's sold out, but let's tell everybody about it so maybe they can get on board for next year.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate it. It's actually going to be happening tomorrow. But it's exciting times right now. It's going to be going on tomorrow, the gala. It's the Christmas gala for the DAV Department of Michigan. It's the very first one that's being put on. I got to talk a little bit about our state commander, because actually it's some historic things that went on there. The state commander for DAV Department of Michigan is Miss Lolita Tucker. And she also is a wartime veteran and of the Army. And she has spearheaded this effort, again, this Christmas gala that we're going to have out in Dearborn, Michigan. And it's the event is about firsts, like a lot of firsts there. And even the mayor is coming out, first veteran serving as the mayor out there. So again, this gala is bringing all veterans, doesn't matter what organization they belong to, don't have to be members, just veterans coming together. We're really celebrating veterans and giving them opportunity. I know, you know, when we're in the military, we got to go to our balls and whatnot and dress up and have a great time. And we all miss that. And the pandemic has kind of still put a halt to a lot of different things like that. But it's an opportunity for veterans to get dressed up, have a great time, and be in the company of other men and women that serve. And so this will be the first of many. And anybody would like more information about that or anything going forward, mi-dab.org is the website. It has it on there. But we definitely encourage anybody looking for the next year. We'll have many more every year come going forward.
Well, that sounds great. And I'm so sorry I'm unable to make it. But, you know, I send my congratulations to the new state commander. And I know first woman of color in this position in the state at any VSO. And so we welcome her leadership here in the state. So, Quan, where can they find you?
Okay, so again, DAV.org is the best way to get a hold of us. When you go on DAV.org, you can look at where to find an NSO or service office. It'll show you a map. And then on Michigan here, of course, it'll have our address, email, and phone number to contact us. Our phone number again is 313-964-6595. And then again, the Michigan website is mi-dab.org. But anybody looking to contact us can definitely reach any of those locations there. And we'd be more than happy to help. We do have an email address for our office. So any general contact information they may be requesting, want to find out more information about DAV or any some claims assistance, healthcare, or just, you know, some help with food assistance, anything they may need, they can email us at dav.vba.det@va.gov. I know I said a lot there, so I'm hoping that came across and go from there.
Thank you so much for joining us, Quan, and we will see you all next week on the Veterans Perspective.